Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you. We praise you for being an awesome God. Lord, we pray for all those people in this church this morning who are traveling. Lord, just be with them. Give them travel mercies, Lord. Be with them, watch over them, protect them, guide them, Lord. We pray for all those who are sick and afflicted that you would just be with them. Heal their bodies, Lord. Father God, I pray for a gift of teaching here, that you would open up our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear those things, to know those things that you want us to know. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for being an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we talked about the signs that would precede the coming of the Lord. And we talked about, and there are so many signs out there. And we left off with that one sign, that one prophecy, given in Daniel chapter 12, where Daniel says, prophesies that in the very last days before Messiah returns, knowledge will increase and people will go to and fro. And when we think about that, life has pretty much been the same since Adam and Eve. For 6,000 years, life was pretty much the same. And it hasn't been up till just about the last 125 years where things have changed. People are going to and fro. Knowledge is increasing. And it's only been in the last 125 years. And think about this. Knowledge had to increase because God is setting the stage for the last days, for the Antichrist to be able to give everyone a mark on their forehead or on their forearm where they couldn't buy or sell unless they had that mark, that technology had to be in place. So God is just setting the stage. And we see companies today who are putting these microchips in their employees to track them. I mean, it's all coming together for Revelation chapter 13. I remember back in 1983, I worked at this place called Smitty's. It was like a Myers. And I was a sales director, and so I ran a department within the store. And we had those price guns. Anybody remember price guns? Yeah. You know, you had sale stickers, and you had the white stickers. And every time there was a price change, you had to get the fingernail polish remover and get the stick it out, and you have to pull off the old ones. And I remember September 83, we had a meeting in our store, and they were saying, you know, you won't have to do this pretty soon. You won't have to do this in 2 years because we're replacing everything with barcodes, and there'll be scanners at all the registers. And we were like, what is a barcode? And so they showed us an example of what they're going to look like. And they said, okay, here's two sets of numbers. The first one is all product information. The second set of numbers is all about pricing, how you adjust the pricing. And then I said, well, there's three long bars, one to start, one in the middle, and one at the end, but they don't have numbers. And the guy says, no, those are called number six bars. They're exactly six. And I said, are there three sixes on every product? He goes, of course, six is the perfect number. One to start the information, one to break it, go to the next information, one to end it. And I was like, you're putting me on. Every product in America will have three sixes on it? I said, absolutely. Now, this was back in 1983. And so I'm thinking, wow, this is too crazy. But technology is increasing so rapidly. Like I said, you know, they're putting microchips into people. And it's really not a bad thing. You think about your children. Wouldn't you want to be able to track your children? I remember when Taylor and Stephen went on a road trip about 5 years ago, and I was concerned about them. They went to California. And so they had, on their Apple device, on their iPhone, I could track everywhere they went. And I could see the little car moving as it went on my screen. And I remember one time they went into a Subway restaurant, and I called them. I said, so how's your Subway? They go, how did you know we were at Subway? Because I could see you, and it says Subway on it. But it's a good thing. You know, it doesn't mean that it's the mark of the beast. And I remember when credit cards first came out, and my uncle was telling me, I'm not getting credit cards because credit cards is the mark of the beast. Well, no, it's not. It's a very convenient thing, and just like microchips. Microchips is a very good thing. Doesn't mean that it's the mark of the beast. Now, the Antichrist could utilize that technology, but it doesn't mean it's the mark of the beast. And remember, we as born-again believers in Jesus Christ won't be here while the Antichrist is ruling and reigning. But those who are left on this earth are not going to take the mark of the beast by accident. It has to be associated with the worship of the beast. And of course, anybody that takes the mark of the beast, the Bible says, cannot be saved. And talking about advances in technology, we talked about this a lot last week, is robotics. I mean, I love technology. I love seeing the latest things coming out. And when you see the latest in robotics is now a $200 billion a year industry and growing, I mean, we've got Sophia in the United States. Everybody's seen Sophia? She's a robot, and when she has her hair on, she looks like a real person. But she is nothing compared to the Japanese robots. If you look online and go up 2019, the advances in robotics, they have an anchor, a news anchor, that's a robot. It's a female robot. And you look at her, you almost cannot tell she's a robot. And they say within 5 to 10 years, you will not be able to tell the robots from the humans. That's how close we are. If you go to Japan today, the robots are running the fast food restaurants. They're in the restaurants. They're in all the factories. Matter of fact, I saw a video of this whole factory in Japan, and it's all robots. And the robots are on the assembly line doing this. And what's really cool is that when they bring a new trainee robot in, you don't train that robot. The other robot trains the new robot. And so if one guy's on the assembly line and the other guy's on the other side, they just hit, it's the reverse. And they train each other. I mean, it's like, really? That's crazy. Remember last week I talked about the advances 40 years ago, the most powerful computer in the world was in Brussels, Belgium, and it took up 3 stories, and it took up like 2 acres of property. And that our cell phones, our smartphones are 20,000 times more powerful, smaller, and cheaper than that computer was 40 years ago. And I was thinking about that yesterday. I was thinking, and my mind goes this way sometimes. I was thinking, okay, if I went back to my high school, let's say I graduated in 1977, and I went back in time, and I couldn't take anything with me, but I had to explain to my friends about what it's like in 2019. So I pop back into 2019 with my bell bottoms and my silk shirt, and I try to fit in, and I was like, guys, I just came from the future. And they were like, yeah, Wilson Wright, man, sure. I was like, you wouldn't believe how technology has advanced. Let me tell you about this little flat device, 5 inches by 3 inches, and it's only maybe less than 1/2 inch thick, and it has a screen on it. And guys, it's a telephone. What? You mean a telephone is that small? Yeah, and it doesn't have any wires attached. Oh, Wilson, you're out of it. How can a telephone not be attached? How do you call the other person? It goes through the air. And not only that, you can see the other people that you're talking to. Oh, no way. That's crazy. And that's not all, guys. This little device is a television set. Oh, come on. How can you get a picture tube in that little thing? I go, yeah. It's not only a television set, but it gets every show ever made, every movie ever made of all time, and you can watch it all by a little push of a button. No, oh, come on, Wilson, you're way out there. Guys, that's not all. It's a typewriter. What? How can a typewriter fit in that little thing? You type letters and documents on it, and then you can send it to the other people and they get it instantly. You don't have to mail it. And it's called email and texting in the last days. Oh, Wilson, you're just freaking us out, man. And get that's not all. It's an 8-track player. What? And I had an 8-track player in 1977. Listen. And so you're trying to explain this in the terms of 1977. It's an 8-track player, and you can play any vinyl album, any 8-track, any cassette, anything that was ever recorded in all of history, and all you have to do is push a button. Now they're freaking out. They're thinking, there's no way in the world that a device can do all that. And it does so much more. Telling them, hey, in those days in 2019, you go shopping on your phone, and it's called Amazon, and you get it the next day. Oh, Wilson, you're crazy. How can that happen on a little tiny device like this, this small? Listen, I'm old, but I'm not that old. I graduated 42 years ago. That's not like 1,000 years ago. And that's how far technology has advanced. When I was in 1977, when I was in, can't remember what class, it was like calculus or something, as a senior in high school, it's trigonometry. I had a slide rule in my pocket. I didn't get a calculator until I was in college. I think in college, my freshman year, they came out with a TI-30. Cost me like $400. But I had slide rules in my pocket in 77, along with the bell bottoms and the silk shirts. And man, I mean, technology is going crazy. People will go to and fro and knowledge will increase. Now, the last sign that I want to talk about this morning is the fact in the last days, societies of the world, societies of the United States and all the world will be completely upside down. Our first set of scriptures this morning is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul saying, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that's exactly how it is in the world today. The world has gone completely mad. Completely mad. Isaiah says in chapter 5, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And today in 2019, that's how it is in the world. As we said, the world's completely upside down, calling evil good and good evil. People are so confused, they don't even know what gender they are. I mean, we never had these conversations 40 years ago. Never. In the news last week, three articles in Fox News, and they were all about transgender. And they were all from Hollywood. It explains a lot. But it really saddened my heart because this one couple had a 7-year-old, I think it was a 7-year-old boy, and the boy showed signs of being feminine, and so they were going to change the person's sex to the opposite sex. 7 years old. That's unbelievable. And there was another couple. And I think they were in the Avengers movie. I think she plays in the Avengers movie. And they said they have three children, and they're going to raise them as gender neutral. They'll give them boys' toys and girls' toys and let them decide what gender they want to be. But the sad one that I read this week was about a 3-year-old girl. I think it was a 3-year-old girl who the parents thought should be a boy. And so they're legally going to change it, the sex of the 3-year-old. This is real stuff. This is not fantasy. Those people should be locked up for life and the key thrown away. Talk about child abuse. It's unbelievable. It's indescribable. My wife had surgery about 3 months ago. And it was a female surgery. Only women can have this surgery. And the nurse, while she's filling out her paperwork, asked her, Susan, what gender do you prefer to go by? And Sue goes, I'm having the female surgery. What do you mean, what gender do I prefer to go by? And he said, sorry, we have to ask that question. My question is, why? Why do you have to ask that stupid and ridiculous question? Why? Who sets the policies of political correctness in the hospital? Who sets the policies of political correctness in the United States, in America, where we are forced to ask those questions? What gender do you prefer to go by? It's ridiculous. It's maddening. It's an upside-down world. January 27th this year, we celebrated Holocaust Remembrance Day, which we should. Because in 6 years, over a third of the Jewish population was wiped out. 6 million Jews were wiped out from 1939 to 1945 by wicked and evil men. And so we should have that day to remember what happened and pray that it never happens again. But my question is, what about the 60 million babies that were murdered and tortured by evil and wicked man here in the United States since 1973? Why don't we have a Memorial Day for them? 60 million babies murdered since 1973. I think the world is more concerned about the whales, saving the whales, saving eagles' eggs, than they are about human babies. Listen, I love animals. I really do. I don't always love my dogs because they steal my food. I mean, they do. I could sell them tomorrow. I wouldn't have a problem with it. But when we're talking about animals compared to human life, it shouldn't even be close, should it? I mean, I love animals, yes, but human life shouldn't even be on the same scale. You know, my daughter, Natalie, she loves animals. She loves animals. She loves all kinds of animals. She'd be the one that giving mouth-to-mouth from the squirrel, you know, that fell. She'd be doing mouth-to-mouth for a squirrel. She loves animals of all kinds. And I said to her, I said this last week, I said, Natalie, did you hear the news? It's horrible. And she goes, what happened? I said, man, just it's all over the news. They found all these clinics across America, and they were trying to get the population of dogs and cats down, especially dogs. So they had these clinics that when a dog was giving, you know, having puppies, they'd take it to the clinics, and as the puppies were coming out, they'd stab the brains and then kill the little puppies. And I said, Natalie, there's tens of millions of them all over the United States. And she was foaming at the mouth. And she's like, they deserve to die. You know, and she was in an outrage. What are we going to do? We got to do this. Got to do this. And I said, Natalie, calm down. They're not puppies. They're human babies. And she goes, oh, well. And it didn't seem to bother her at all. Didn't seem to bother at all. My question is, why? Why is abortion accepted in today's society? Why is homosexuality accepted and protected in today's society? Why is transgender accepted in today's society? Because sin is progressive. Sin is not neutral. It always wants more. Sin always grows. The Apostle Paul and Jesus talked about leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, Jesus said. That the Jewish women, when they were baking, would keep a little piece of the old bread and put it on the shelf, a little old moldy piece. And then when they were making a new batch, they would put that little bit of leaven into that new loaf. And it would cause the loaf to rise. It would permeate through the whole loaf. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, your glory is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And that's what sin does. Sin continues to permeate till it permeates our whole being. In ourselves and society at large. It never stops. It keeps growing. It wants more. It's like a cancer. And it goes through society. You look at the last 100 years and you see how society has just accepted this evil over and over. You compare it to 100 years ago, society is completely upside down from where it was just 100 years ago. There is a movie that came out years ago that to this day, it's the number one shock and awe movie of all time to the audience that saw it. When people saw this movie, people were passing out. They were screaming atop of their lungs. They were gasping. They were falling over, fainting. No, it wasn't The Exorcist. It wasn't Jaws. It wasn't Scream 25 or all those Halloween 14 or whatever those movies are. No, this movie was a silent movie, came out in 1903, only 12 minutes long, called The Great Train Robbery. And in this movie, it's just 12 minutes. 12 minutes shows these guys, you know, giddy up on the horse, and they go in there and they shoot a guy and they steal the money, and then they go out, and at the end of the movie, there's a guy pointing a pistol right at the camera and fires. That's the end of the movie. That's it. People at that time in 1903, the vast majority of people had never, ever seen anybody ever get shot. The vast majority had never even seen anybody thrown off a train. The vast majority had never, by far, had someone point a gun at them and shoot. And this is when many of the people passed out. Someone was firing a gun right at them, and they felt like they were shot. 1903, the first time it was shown, again, people were in shock. And at the end of the movie, and you can look this online, you can see the movie on Google, Google. Just Google it, and it's all there, the history of it. It's on YouTube. And they said that after the movie was over, after the first showing, there was silence. You could hear a pin drop. Then all of a sudden, they started clapping. More clap, more clap. And then it got louder and louder and louder, and they go, "We want to see it again." And the owner of the theater had to show it 4 times, and they wanted to see it again. And so they finally, the owner of the theater kicked them all out. They had been shocked and in awe, and they loved it, and they wanted more. You say, really? Somebody shot somebody, and they fell off a train, and this would be like, gee, today. Really? That's it? That's it for us in 2019, because we're used to it. We're just used to it. You know, it's estimated the time a child leaves elementary school that they will have witnessed over 100,000 acts of violence and over 20,000 murders. Time a child, he or she, graduates from high school, they will have witnessed over 250,000 acts of violence and over 200,000 murders on TV, on the internet. We're just used to it. We're just used to it. It's not 1903 anymore. We've all heard the old adage on the experiment that they did in the 1950s with the frog. Remember, heard that? Today it would be politically incorrect to do that to a frog. But back in the 50s, a frog was a frog. And so they did this experiment. Took a frog, they had boiling water, and throw the frog in the boiling water. What happened to the frog? It goes, "I don't like this. It's hot." They jumped out. Then they took a frog, and they just simmered it very slowly. He's like taking a bath, you know, hot water. And they ever so slowly turned up the heat until that frog boiled to death. Because that frog wasn't, he just thought, okay, this is normal. This is normal. And it was slow. It wasn't gradual. If it happened all at once, he'd be out of there. But it was slowly boiling to death. And that's exactly how it is here in 2019. The very thing that would have shocked the nation 75 years ago is now the norm. It's normal now. Our country and this world are like that frog, slowly boiling to death in the waters of political correctness. Jeremiah chapter 8 says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment they shall be cast out, saith the Lord. We in the United States don't even know the meaning of blushing anymore. And I can't tell you the last time that I blushed. Quite a while ago. And I tell you, just the state of this nation. I remember back in the early 90s when Bill Clinton was president and the Monica Lewinsky thing happened. I remember there was an op-ed in the Washington Post. It was just a two-part cartoon. And right when this thing happened with the president and Monica Lewinsky, this the cartoon shows this little boy running up to his mommy and says, Mommy, Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be president of the United States. And the next caption was a little boy over his mother's knee, and his mother was spanking him, and he's like, what did I say? What did I say? And I think that captures everything. We've seen it all. We've heard it all. We don't even know how to blush anymore. Again, as Paul told Timothy, but know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. And that brings us into the chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. We left off with those first two verses, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, and that's where we're going to pick it up today in verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction shall come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. The rapture of the church will come like a thief in the night. And as soon as the rapture occurs, the world goes into this period, this seven-year period called the tribulation period, the great tribulation period. All the Christians are gone. Holy Spirit is no longer on planet Earth. We're going to get a lot more into this in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. But you can imagine, the rapture occurs. Can you imagine the chaos that's going to follow immediately after the rapture? If you have commercial airlines going in the air, what happens if both pilots are born again Christians and they're gone? Who's going to fly the plane? You have born again Christians driving cars. And you know, who's going to drive the car if they're all of a sudden taken? And so we've all seen the movie, right? Now, I don't know if the clothes are folded like in the movie. I don't know about that. Maybe. But chaos. You got hundreds of millions of born-again believers in Jesus Christ disappearing all around the world. What's that going to do? It's going to cause major chaos and major confusion. So this eerie time, no Christians. Holy Spirit is no longer on planet Earth. And at that very moment, the reality of that Larry Norman song made popular by DC Talk in the 90s, I wish we'd all been ready. The lyrics of that song, our life was filled with guns and war. Everyone got trampled on the floor. I'd wished we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I'd wished we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demons dined. The Son has come, and you've been left behind. It's too late. You've been left behind. You've missed the rapture. I remember my cousin's wife, this is back probably 1981. Everybody she knew was all born again. She's her whole family, everybody back in Mansfield, Ohio, they were saved in the church growing up. And I remember she tried to call my cousin John, couldn't reach him. She tried his mom, couldn't reach him. She tried her dad, couldn't reach him. Tried her mom, couldn't reach him. Tried the church, nobody's there. She kept trying all these people, all her friends, and she couldn't reach anybody. And then she goes, oh no, I missed the rapture. And then my cousin calls and says, honey, what'd you want? And she goes, oh, thank God you missed the rapture too. No. It's scary, the thought of missing the rapture. You've been left behind. First mulligan. Trying to find out where I was. There it is. Got it. Okay, here I am. Again, there will be people that do get saved during the Great Tribulation period. All the remnant of the nation of Israel, every Jewish person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior before they go in there, during the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, all Israel shall be saved. There's going to be millions of people that come to Christ during this 7-year period. There's no Holy Spirit on earth. So it's going to be like all the apostles and all the people that came to Jesus without the Holy Spirit before it was given. Again, we'll get into that in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. And so it's going to be a time that we don't want to be here. The wrath of God is poured out in the last 3.5 years. It's hell on earth. I mean, it's a miserable time. I have people that came up to me, a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, I'm just going to wait for the Antichrist to show up and I'll just get saved during the tribulation period. I was like, man, if you can't get saved now in a period of grace, how are you going to get saved when it's hell on earth? That, you know, you've got the Antichrist, you've got God pouring out his wrath on planet earth. I said, man, you got to make sure that you are saved now, because you don't want to be here when that time comes. We all need to be ready, because Jesus is coming and will come, as he says, like a thief in the night. Verse 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So Paul warning the church not to be like the world, not to fall asleep, but to be wide awake, watch and be sober. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, drink at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of our salvation. So Paul's saying, listen, those of us who are of the day, those of us who have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are need to be wide awake, sober, watching, and also be ready and putting on hope, faith, and love, as Paul says. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, not in our own strength, but strength in the Lord, putting on the full armor of God. In verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said a couple weeks ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth to be the sacrificial lamb for the sins of the world. He became a propitiation for our sins, which means the appeasing of God's wrath, that wrath that was meant for us. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. So my question is, if God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross to save us from his wrath, then why in the world would God pour out his wrath upon those who know him? It's not going to happen. And there are a lot of Christians that believe that God's wrath will be poured out on Christians. There's no way. That's why Paul says we have not been appointed to suffer the wrath of God, the first time and the second time. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. So Paul reminding them, listen, if you die before the rapture, either way, you're going to be with the Lord. You're going to be in the Lord in the twinkling of an eye. You'll be standing in the Lord either way. Verse 11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. Comfort one another, why? Because Jesus is coming to get us out of here before God's wrath is poured out on planet earth. Comfort one another. Be watchful, Paul's saying. I'm going to read some verses in Matthew 24 and 25 in closing. 24, verse 42, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give him food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Surely I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods." And then in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives us a parable of those who are waiting for the master's return. Chapter 25 in Matthew, verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and they all slept." Oil in the Bible sometimes represents the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that these 10 virgins, all 10 virgins are so-called Christians. 5 were born again, sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. But the other 5, the foolish 5, were non-saved Christians. Okay, they're not Muslim, they're not a Buddhist, they're a Christian. Non-saved Christians. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God." And I really believe the whole church is pretty much sound asleep. But there is a call coming. And I believe not only the call for the rapture, in my personal view, I really believe that there is going to be one last day revival. And I personally believe that in that last day revival is when the Lord will come. And so whether it's the rapture and this revival, God wants to use us. He's putting people in place for this one last revival. And we all need to be ready for that. Going back to Matthew 25, verse 6, "At midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.'" What's cool about this, it doesn't say he's coming to you. That's the second coming of Christ. That's when Jesus plants his feet on the Mount of Olives and it starts that millennial reign. He says, go out to meet him. And so we are going to meet the Lord in the air, as we talked about a couple weeks ago in 1 Thessalonians 4. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And going back to Matthew 25, verse 7, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.'" This reminds me of Simon the sorcerer, who wanted to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the wise were basically telling the foolish five that we cannot save you. You have to come to Christ yourself. In verse 10, "And while they went, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." I like that. The door was shut. Just like Noah in the ark. God didn't send the floodwaters on planet Earth to flood the earth until Noah was safely in the ark and the door was shut. You know, when Jesus gave this parable, everybody knew what Jesus was talking about. Everybody got it. It'd be like 10 people at an airport waiting for the last plane to come in. It's the only plane that this airport has. 5 wise, 5 foolish people. The 5 wise were, they were in the front seat, right there by the gate. They were waiting for that lady to come out with a microphone and say, now boarding. And they had their tickets in their hand. You ever travel for the first time and you're so afraid you're going to lose your ticket? You're like this. You know, you're holding it. That's how these guys are. They're like ready. Well, the foolish five, man, they were out. You know, they were just fooling around in the back somewhere. They could care less. The five wise, they were ready. Well, the plane was delayed. It was delayed. And all 10 of them fell asleep. And they were all snoring logs. All 10 of them fell asleep. Then the lady comes up. She gets on the microphone. Flight 10 to Atlanta. Now boarding. Oh, man. Those guys woke up in an instant. And they go, we got our ticket. Yes. You're a fly Southwest and you're in the A group. Man, come on in. Seats are yours. Come on, let's go. Oh, but the foolish five, they were still asleep. They're like, oh, they're out. And so the five wise, man, they're in. They go, hey, well, you want a window seat? Yeah, man. We got a whole plane to ourselves. It's awesome. And then the lady gets on the microphone. She says, final call, flight 10 to Atlanta, final call. And they're like, oh, did you hear something? Somebody say something about a ball. Oh, man, that's a call, final call, man. Oh, I guess we should go buy our tickets now. So they're out. When they were out trying to buy their tickets, and they come back, and they say, lady, we're ready to get on the plane. And the lady says, I'm sorry. The plane's already departed. It's taxiing right now, and the door's been shut. And they were saying, lady, you understand, we've got to get on that plane. And she goes, I'm sorry, but you have been left behind. In verse 11, it says, afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. They thought they were in. They thought they had it all set. They thought they made it. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many miracles in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So what can we do? What can we do to prepare for the coming of the Lord? There's only one thing that we really have to do. We just need to make sure that we have Jesus Christ living in us, that we are born again. And if we have Jesus Christ living in us, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, a deposit guaranteeing us what is to come. If we have the Holy Spirit living in us, that's all we have to do. God will take care of the rest. We don't have to. We can't add to our salvation. We can't add works. We can't take anything with us. We have to make sure that we have Jesus Christ living in us, born again. And if we have Jesus Christ living in us, then we want to make sure that we're walking with the Lord, that we're watching, being sober, anticipating the soon return of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you, we praise you for all the things that you have done for us, given us eternal life and paradise with you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you are taking us out of this place. Either way, if we just go be with you, our time is ended, Lord, or we go in the rapture, Lord, we just can't wait. Can't wait to depart from this wicked place. But until that time comes, Lord God, I pray that you use us. Equip us to do those things you have called us to do, Lord. I really believe in that mighty revival to come. I pray, Father God, you'd use us. We say, here we are, Lord, use me. Lord God, we want to see so many people come to know you, Lord, before it's too late. Use us, Lord. Be with those who are traveling again. Be with those who are sick and afflicted. Heal their bodies. Lord, we do thank you. We praise you for being such an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen.